United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest is Xochi Julisa Bermejo, a Los Angeles-based poet and the artist-in-residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park. Also, hers is the very first poetry residency in partnership with the Poetry Foundation in Chicago. She is the author of Posada, Offerings of Witness and Refuge. Xochi, welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us what your residency has been like so far.
I've been here for 2 weeks, and basically what my days consist of are getting up early, writing dream journaling, which I don't usually do at home because I just don't take the time to do it. So dream journaling, reading a book of poetry, and then having my coffee. My friends have gotten me into tarot readings. Mm-hmm. So I got my friend, I'm also a little scared because I grew up Catholic, so there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to do that. And so my friends got me like a spirit animal deck.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like, she was like, it was the gentle, like, here, try it this way. And okay. So every morning I pick a card and read about it and think about how that can help me through my day, mm-hmm. and what to focus on for that day. And then I'll go for long walks, go for bike rides, go into the library and do some research and write journal. And then after I journal, I'll try to write a poem from my journals. And mm-hmm. that's basically what I've been doing. It's been very nice, very calming.
Great. Well, it's nice to have that structure, that sort of impulse that you start your day off with. Mm-hmm. So very interesting.
Yeah. It's been nice. It's like a nice meditative, you know, I have my coffee. I'm mm-hmm. sitting outside with the sunlight and just thinking about my intentions for the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've recently gotten into tarot, and like new moons. And what I really love about it is setting intentions for yourself, mm-hmm. and thinking about what you need to work on and setting goals. And I really have been enjoying that.
Great.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could actually tell us a little bit about your book, Posada, and some of the work that you've been doing prior to coming to Gettysburg, and how this made it an interesting and relevant place for you to come and do work now. Mm-hmm. How what you did in your previous book, which came out in 2016.
So I call myself a social justice poet, mm-hmm. and then recently I started calling myself a location poet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I made up that word. I haven't found anything about it. But basically, my parents are both Mexican immigrants. They mm-hmm. came as children. My mother was undocumented and didn't know it until the age of 14, 12 or 14. You know, mm-hmm. those kinds of things she doesn't even really remember mm-hmm. when she found out. Mm-hmm. My father came as a teenager, and he was the oldest in his family and kind of helped his mother with his younger brothers and sisters, and at 15 he had to like be an adult. So as a young child, I was always very aware that my parents were immigrants. I always was interested in immigrant rights and immigrant stories, and that's where the book kind of came from, wanting to write about them and immigration. I decided to go out into the borderlands in Arizona.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was in 2011. I volunteered with a group called No Más Muertes, mm-hmm. and they're out of Tucson. And you go for 2 weeks at a time. I think maybe it's longer now, but when I went out for 2 weeks mm-hmm. and camped along the border and went on daily patrols, hikes, putting out water gallons, being witness to Border Patrol abuses, and giving first aid. Those are the main things you do when you're out there. Mm-hmm. And so then when I came back, I started writing about those experiences and then thinking about how that relates to my parents and then thinking about how that relates to me living in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And that's where the book came from.
Wow. And do you have a poem from that book that you could read?
Sure. And then this poem is from when I was volunteering. When you put out the water, one of the things they ask you to do is to write a message, hopefully in Spanish, okay. or draw a picture, something that will let people crossing know that it's meant for them and it's not a trap and it's not tainted. Uh-huh. And this is because there have been accounts of Border Patrol slashing water gallons and emptying them out or doing things to them. So we want them to know that, like, this is for you. This is for you to stay alive. Yeah. So this poem is about me trying to figure out what to draw or write on these water gallons that would give somebody in a state of panic, a sense of of peace and also a sense of security, and let them know, like, immediately. That's what I wanted, something that would immediately let them know that this was for them. Mm-hmm. And so this is what this poem is about. Mm-hmm. Our Lady of the Water Gallons, un mensaje a mis compañeros, Aravaca, Arizona. I etch black line Sharpie Virgenes on plastic water gallons. One arc, ictus in the sand at traveler's feet. One post carving, hobo's mark on the road. The Virgen speaks to faceless shadows traveling when the land is dark. I etch black line Sharpie Virgenes on plastic water gallons. One arc is the bridge between L.A. and Aravaca. Liquor store murals and water drawings. Dogs on lawns and dogs trained to attack a man and woman darting up Hippie Mountain. They've hiked this far from Guatemala on one plastic water gallon, one arc. Ictus in the sand at traveler's feet is the tale of a man left shirtless and shoeless beside thorny mesquite. Como un pez sin agua, he is fished off the road, limp and nearly witless. In the arms of compañeros, he asks, ¿Es esto sentir la muerte? Barely conscious, he is Ictus in the sand at traveler's feet. One post carving, hobo's mark, would mark our angel food with a cross. But cross signs feel wrong to fingers wanting a symbol with less power, more loss, like desert flower blooms or a growing belly beneath blue robes of water and gloss. I need one post carving, hobo's mark. On the road, the Virgen speaks to faceless suffering. A woman 7 months pregnant hikes with garlic-lashed calves, snake safeguard. Bleeding and cramping, body bent to ground, she makes mud salves and prayers to our mother. Keep my unborn daughter radiant. On the road, the Virgen speaks. To faceless shadows traveling when the land is dark, I say I see the fresh footprint in the riverbed, the torn blanket ditched on the hillside. At a rest stop shaded by oak, I tread slow, count empty gallons, read what remains. I promise you are not invisible nor discarded, people traveling when the land is dark. I etch black line Sharpie Virgenes to cloak rocky paths and stars and hope one will guide you home. When muscles spasm and farm lights appear too far, know that I built this poem with safe spaces. But because no words can erase your scars, I etch black line Sharpie Virgenes.
Wow, thank you. And it seems like with each passing day right now, politically, it just, instead of becoming less relevant, it's more relevant, like, mm-hmm. with each passing minute, basically. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful poem. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I just, one of my goals for the book was to just humanize these people that, like, mm-hmm. and this was before, you know, I was writing this. It got published in 2016, so right. I've been writing it since 2011.
Sure.
But it was, you know, to humanize people who maybe we're not connected to and we don't feel a connection to, mm-hmm. and also to make the wall and the border not an abstract but more a reality, to, like, describe it and let people try to kind of be there within mm-hmm. the poem and see it for themselves and realize that, no, there's really people suffering out here, and this is on our... This is within our country, within our borders. There are people yeah. suffering and dying. So, and just trying to make that a little bit more close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happening on our watch,
yeah.
right? I mean, we talk about things that happen in the past, and it's like, no, this is happening now, and mm-hmm. this is us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. How have you found? It's just 2 weeks that you've been here so far, but living on the battlefield and. Being aware of what transpired at Gettysburg and being aware of all of the things that you are in the Pacific time zone, far from here. Are there some observations or sort of surprises or connections that you've become aware of already, just as far as, you know, you are a poet of location and space and place, and I'm wondering if this place and this space, if you've been picking up some echoes to other places and spaces that you've been.
Just putting myself in uncomfortable places, mm. especially a person of color. I mean, I walk around the park and the visitor center and even the town, and often I look around and I'm the only person of color. So
yeah.
that mm-hmm. alone is uncomfortable, but I think I also kind of thrive, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I've just been thinking about myself and my own process, like, why do I want to put myself in these situations? You know, why did I want to go to the border? Mm-hmm. That was actually a very dangerous situation. Yeah. And so here I am again in not such a dangerous situation, but also I'm walking alone. Sometimes mm-hmm. I think, what if I passed someone who doesn't like me for mm-hmm. some reason, you know, thinking about those things. And so just the discomfort is something I've noticed a lot. And at first it was like a funny, discomfort with ghosts, like, you know, I'm living in this old house on a battlefield all by myself. Oh my gosh, there could be ghosts. And then that led to like real fears, you know, yeah. like, oh, well, actually, there's a lot of things happening right now, and our world's mm-hmm. a little, you know, turned around, and here I am alone, yeah. one alone, mm-hmm. a woman, mm-hmm. Far away from home, and then mm-hmm. in this space where I look around and there's no one else like me. So
yeah,
it's just, it's been interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the really fascinating things about the current residency that you're doing is you're not only part of the series of artists in the national parks, but this is a partnership that the Poetry Foundation, a literary organization that also publishes poetry, the magazine, that they have partnered in this case with this residency program in Gettysburg, and you will be doing some things beyond your time here, right? Do you want to say a little bit about that?
I will be... I mean, I don't really know how this will all end up manifesting, mm-hmm. but the idea is that I will be going to the Poetry Foundation offices in Chicago and doing mm-hmm. a reading in Chicago. They would like me to do a reading in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and then there's been some interest about doing a reading in London.
Great.
But when those are happening, I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm very excited. I mean, this is really like an exciting opportunity for me because Poetry Foundation is one of the biggest, if the biggest foundation yeah. within poetry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poetry is not a big moneymaker or anything.
Nope.
There's not a lot of money in it. There's not a lot of, you know, notoriety in it. Uh-huh. So it's really exciting to be partnered with probably the biggest organization within the poetry world in the United States. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been focused too much on that. I've just been writing and
sure.
being yeah. in this world and writing a bunch, which has been awesome. But mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what will happen next.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any of your current work that you might be willing to read, like a poem or something that you brought along from this, you know, fresh from this time in Gettysburg?
Sure. So, I mean, this is all really... These are all rough drafts. I've been writing at least one poem a day, sometimes two or three, and trying to, you know, as again, like, I call myself a location poet, mm-hmm. which basically means I walk around, I think as I walk, I come back, and I spill out my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I also try to pick out little, like I've really been in love with all the monarchs I've been seeing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The goldenrods. I feel like once I leave here, when I think back, I'll think of the color yellow or amber. Yeah. It's like every day I'm just... like washed in that, and I love walking around at like that was golden hour, mm-hmm. like between 5 and 7. It's mm-hmm. so gorgeous out. So mm-hmm. 2 days ago I sat out in the peach orchard, which is, you know, a site of a big battle, mm-hmm. and while the sun was setting, and I wrote this, mm-hmm. and this was actually inspired by a workshop I went to in San Francisco with this collective called Ghostlines Collective. Mm-hmm. They had us write questions. If you could talk to any ghost, what would be the questions you wanted to ask them? Oh. So this is me talking a ghost interview in the Peach Orchard after Ghostlines Collective. What was your dying wish? In your final moments, who did you think of back home? If you could say one last thing to your father, what would you say? What's one lesson you wish you could have taught your child? The moment you were hit, did you know you were dying? Where did you want to be? How would you like to be remembered? If you could write anything you wanted on one of those stone monuments, what would you want to write? How did you sign off your letters home? Are you cold where you are? Are you sad? How can I help you let go of this place? Are you in the morning fog, and is that why it clings to the fields? Do you walk in the twilight? What can I do to help you get home? Do you hate war? Did you ever love war? Am I totally off? And war is like God, without knowing, unknown, all around, a mystery too big to understand? I wish it was easy to say there is no war. Did you wish the same? Have you ever pledged allegiance to a flag, any flag? Have you ever loved a flag like your mother's arms? Speaking of your mother's arms, what did they smell like tucked tight below your nose? Were they like fresh-baked loaves or maybe stone? I can think of something better, or maybe I can't. This is why I need you to tell me. Were you ever in love? What color is love? I want to believe in love like some people believe in God, but sadly, both are out of my reach. Do you think I'm crazy? Do you think I'm beautiful? No, really, like, would you date me? Yeah, don't answer that. What could you always count on to make you laugh? What surprised you when it made you smile? If you could hold anyone tonight and twirl them once in the moonlight, who would that be?
Nice. I like the way you really deal with senses a lot. You know, you've got smell and touch and colors, and that's really... And asking the question of someone who would never be able to write on the monument, right? The monuments are the what we inscribe. That's always someone else who does the inscribing. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, too, mm-hmm. that you picked up on that. Who could you always count on to make you laugh? I love that. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. The first couple of days, what really hit me was how many monuments there are. Like, I didn't really know. And I actually came once, I think in 2007 with a friend, and we just went to the cemetery. And it was like winter. Like, we went to the cemetery. We saw the cemetery. We kind of did a once through the museum, and we left. Like, I did not realize how much attention there was on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And so when I got here, just seeing like monument after monument after monument after monument, I was just like, what are these for? You know, I just, and I don't feel the men there, mm-hmm. you know, I don't get a sense of an individual mm-hmm. from those. So that's what I was kind of thinking about mm-hmm. and what I've been thinking a lot of on doing this project mm. is like, well, that's what I do, think about the individual and try to humanize something, right. you know?
Well, yeah. And that's any way that we can. Not only, and when you humanize an individual in one situation, then someone who's hearing that or reading that is able to expand it to other situations, right? When it's mm-hmm. done effectively, then mm-hmm. that really carries mm-hmm. further. Is there anything, again, acknowledging that it's been a relatively short time that you've been here, but is there anything in particular that you sort of have seen or heard? Besides the sheer number of monuments that you thought, I really didn't expect that.
Well, I mean, just like I got to talk to Tom Forsyth, a park ranger,
yes.
and he actually created the arts mm-hmm. residency. Mm-hmm. So like early on, I was kind of like, I don't know, woman on a mission.
Yeah.
And when I talked to him, I was like, what is this place about? And I was really... surprised and happy, and was really thankful at how warm he was mm-hmm. and how giving he was and how open he was to all my questions. And so mm-hmm. that was a really wonderful experience because the day before, it's the only time I've been on the Confederacy side. It does make me uneasy.
Sure.
So the day before being on the Confederacy side, I was just really like, I went to bed just with like knots in my stomach. Mm-hmm. And so it was really nice to be able to talk to him and get another perspective and like kind of like clean out all these negative feelings mm-hmm. that I was having. And so that was good.
And I think he's really shown a very, very deep kind of hospitality to the artists who have come. He really cares about artists seeing the Gettysburg National Military Park and, mm-hmm. you know, and whatever they take from it or bring to it, he has a real commitment to that. So
yeah, and that put me at ease too, because again, I was feeling all these negative feelings, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be here, you know, I'm like a guest here, and I'm feeling negative, and so it was nice to hear him say, like, whatever you take from this, that's what you take, and just to have, he was just so warm, and yeah, he wanted to show me, the archives were awesome, you know, I got to see Lincoln's hair, I could not get over that, but just how warm he was, and just open, and really allowed me to ask him, like, these crazy questions, and was okay with it. It was really nice.
Great. Yeah. And good for you for asking the questions while you have a chance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's making the most of it. Just and he's someone that is good to ask the questions of.
Yeah.
So, well, I wish you all the best with the rest of your time here, and also with the time, you know, post-residency, when you're, whether it's working with the Poetry Foundation or all of the other projects that you have coming up. You are doing important work.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a real, real pleasure to meet you. You've been listening to The Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain. My guest has been Sochi Julissa Bermejo. Visit her website at xochitljulisa.wordpress.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.